And all I would say to the girls directly is, it's a real adventure. And if you want to live with an adventure, you need to find your purpose in life, whatever that is. For me, it's about changing the world through education. Yeah. Find your purpose and absolutely stop at nothing to get there.
Welcome to the Teacher Toolkit podcast, supporting teacher workload and student impact, one episode at a time.
We help teachers thrive and survive with classroom ideas, cutting-edge school resources, and research-informed teacher training materials. You will also hear discussions on the policy, guidance, and research-based publications.
You are listening to Teacher Toolkit, supporting teachers, parents, and students worldwide.
This is Holly, editor at Teacher Toolkit, the most influential blog on education in the UK. 2018 is the centenary of women winning the right to vote in the UK. To mark this anniversary, over the next year, I will be interviewing 100 women working in the field of education or in the public eye in order to catalogue their lives, celebrate their successes, discuss the challenges they face, and discover what they would like to pass on to the next generation. You're listening to the very first interview, which is with Priya Lakhani, OBE no less. I caught up with Priya at the BET show and we discussed her current job and her educational background. We quickly got onto the topic of inspiring girls to get involved in STEM education, and Priya talks really passionately about how important it is that we encourage and inspire girls to become entrepreneurs and build robots. I really hope you enjoy it.
Hi, and I'm here today with Priya Lakhani, who is CEO and founder of Century Tech. Hi, Priya.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How's the show going for you?
Amazing.
Brilliant.
Amazing. Yeah. It's been absolutely brilliant,
oh,
yes.
So good. Okay, can you tell our listeners what it is you do?
Sure, so Century Tech is a platform that learns how your brain learns. So we've used machine learning, artificial intelligence, big data, combined with neuroscience and strong pedagogical methods to really build a platform that can give every single child a personalised education. Yeah, it's a massive workload saver. And I think that's what we're, you know, 74% of teachers consider quitting their jobs. 82% of them cite that workload is their biggest issue. And when you calculate it, 60% of a teacher's time is spent on admin. So my role here has been to build a platform that is not tech for tech's sake. It's a tool that solves a lot of that problem. And from what I hear, teachers cite it as saving 1 hour per week per class, on average 6 hours a week. So if you're a teacher, what are you going to do with your spare 6 hours?
So that's brilliant. So you are the founder of Century Tech. So can you tell us a bit about your education background and your career path that led you to this position?
Sure, you're going to regret asking that question.
So I'm ready.
Holly's ready, that's good. So I was educated up north, so in the northwest in Cheshire. Had a wonderful education. I went to grammar school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit like being pushed through a mould, really. You know, who's going to go to Oxford? Who's going to go to Cambridge? I didn't, but I had set my sights on being a barrister. So I wanted to read law and economics. I went to university. I read law and economics. I qualified as a barrister. I practiced. It was great. For 2 years while I was a barrister, I taught.
Mm-hmm.
And I taught journalism students in the master's course. I taught them law. And one thing I would say is that law is not the favourite topic of a journalist. No, but it's mandatory. And I really sort of had to get to grips with the fact that I was teaching, I had seminars, I had work to mark, I had essays to mark, I had exams to mark, and I had to teach weekly. And sometimes, and also, you know, do you want to use the material that you used last year? No, you want to sort of adapt it and make it better for the class. I had students who were really struggling behind. I had students who were, you know, excelling and understood what the world of law was all about as far as journalism is concerned. So I did that. But because I've always been a social impact entrepreneur at heart, since I was a child, I was selling chocolate bars for money. I was sort of, they used to call my brother Del Boy and me Rodney. But I used to give all my money away. So I would always give money to sort of cancer research. And at the age of 18, I was having parties to raise money for cancer research, you know, marathons, all that sort of stuff. And I thought, well, I'm not quite changing the world doing this. So I started up my own company, Masala Masala. I used to sell the curry sauces into the supermarket.
Wow.
So it's a little black sauce that everyone used to see that was next to the chicken. And for every pot of sauce I sold, I fed a homeless person a hot meal, provided vaccines in Africa, the pentavalent 5-in-1 vaccine with Gavi Alliance, and with the United Nations World Food Programme. I was basically providing food. I was also building schools in the slums in India, and that got on the radar of government. So I was advising Vince Cable when he was Secretary of State for BID when I was in my late 20s. And when I came across some information that just really rattled me. And it was that 1.8 million children were underperforming in UK schools. And I thought, I've spent all this time focusing on developing countries, and we can't quite get it right here. Yeah. So I became a bit nosy and started looking around, remembering my experience teaching, you know, in higher education, and thought, the biggest pain points in education on the front line seem to be that the one-size-fits-all doesn't work. Teachers are really disheartened every day when they see that child. They know they can help, but they just don't have the time and the resources to do so. And all every teacher wants to do is help, and they want to teach. They want to teach effectively. And the one thing that seems to be, it's like a shocking statement, but everyone agrees. Have you ever met a teacher that came to teach badly? No. You know, no, absolutely not. These are the most wonderful people, and frankly, they don't get into the career for the money, right? And so I thought, how on earth can we mobilise this workforce of 395,000 people to do what they came to do, teach, right, in their own individual ways? Because everything you read is about how to mark, how to plan, how to assess. Well, teaching is as personalised as learning is, right? How can we mobilise this entire workforce to do what they came to do? Make them happy, because for goodness sake, teachers should be happy. They should have time to focus on their well-being. And instead, people think they go home at 3:30. I mean, they're working on Saturday and Sunday nights. And so when somebody like, you know, the guy from, I can't even remember, Toby Young from the Free School, you know, network or whatever, has a video on, you know, the web saying they should, anyway, it makes my blood boil.
I know.
Let's not go there, Holly. I'm going to find a solution. And so I stopped what I was doing. I have two children, and I looked at them, and they're very young, and I said, well, you know, what education would I want them to have?
Yep.
And at the same time, let's start from scratch. How could a teacher deliver it? And I thought, well, let's have a look at technology.
Yep.
So I did the Stanford AI course, learned all about AI, and spoke to lots of technology players, and thought technology is transforming every single sector in the world. So I went hunting for this amazing technology, and found that actually all that exists was that people were simply digitizing homework, which is really not that innovative, right? And you could do that for free, you know, using Google Classroom. So I couldn't quite understand that. Well, they weren't being innovative enough. So I built a team, and we have a team of data engineers, data scientists, neuroscientists, and teachers. And we've basically built the system that learns how your brain learns. So it's one of the few systems globally, but we're quite advanced now because we've been going for a number of years. So we actually have working AI, because obviously that's a big buzzword, and you've got to ask the question, do you actually have machine learning? But we have a machine learning platform that actually can tailor to every child and provide those intuitive data insights to teachers. And behind you, although everyone can't see, you have some of our students from a school in Kent who've been pioneering the technology for the last 18 months. And I know that their teachers certainly think that we've improved their outcomes. And we have the teacher behind you, who's actually one of the teachers out there who started at the beginning using technology, and he claims that it saves him up to 6 hours a week. So it's been a real joy, but I think we've still got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
We just need teachers to be brave.
Yep.
Embrace the technology. It's just like a tool on your phone that makes your shopping easier, searching easier. It's just very simple. And it's just, but it's for you to use in your job, you know, in education. The interesting thing about girls that I find is that we often talk about STEM education, right? In fact, there's so many of them don't pursue it.
Yeah.
We need to encourage them to pursue a STEM education. But it starts really, really early on.
Yep.
So if you go to a park, there have been studies on this and data on this, you'll find parents with boys and girls. There'll be a fireman's pole. And they'll say to the boys, go on the fireman's pole, you know, climb it. It's okay if you fall off, have another go. And with girls, they'll say, oh, no, don't try that. That's too risky. And we teach our girls from a very young age, even in the park, before they're even at preschool, we teach them not to take that risk.
Yeah.
Failing is part of my day job, right? I do it a million times a day, right? So everyone says, oh, when can you learn from when you failed? I always say, gosh, I fail about 10 times a day. I just pick myself up and I keep going, and I persevere and I'm resilient. And I think giving them access to the sort of metacognitive skills, you know, the soft skills, if you like, you know, and so trying to really encourage them to give things a go. And I think, and the interesting thing about a STEM education is not only are you learning to build the robot, because I always say to my kids, They're 5 and 7. And I always say, either learn how to build the robot or learn to do the things the robot's not going to be able to do. Because that is going to be the case. And then after 10 years' time, let's say, those are going to be the jobs that are out there. We need our girls to understand, this is for you. You are unique. You can absolutely achieve. You should fail, but take the risk.
Yep.
Because the evidence shows that girls think it's more risky for them to get into a role that's related to STEM, that's related to entrepreneurship, related to risk,
yep,
than boys. And they're two different areas, right? Being an entrepreneur or sort of STEM skills, but they're two areas where we're thoroughly lacking as women. And just really shout about the women that are doing it. And say, I think what you're doing is absolutely wonderful.
Yep.
Getting 100 women together on a podcast so that they can listen to these crazy stories. And all I would say to the girls directly is, it's a real adventure. And if you want to live with an adventure, you need to find your purpose in life, whatever that is. For me, it's about changing the world through education. Find your purpose and absolutely stop at nothing to get there.
I want a round of applause now. That's so inspiring. I totally agree. Okay, well, we're just going to finish off with some quick fire questions.
Sure.
Okay. Name 3 famous women, dead or alive, who you would invite to a dinner party.
3 famous women. Gosh, that's a really interesting one. Do you know what? I would invite Hillary Clinton,
yeah,
only because what I've seen with her is she's been through, I think what I would say is actually a really traumatic time with her race for the presidency, and it felt like it was really stolen from her. So I'd really love to learn from her experiences. What I'd also like to ask her is about Trump and how we've got someone who's misogynistic in the White House. That's the leader of the free world. Then we do have a tough job convincing girls that, you know, that you have an equal place in society, and that's one problem. So I'd love to invite Hillary Clinton. In terms of business, I already know her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've met her a few times, and I love her to bits, and I'd always want to invite her, is Martha Lane Fox, because she's brilliant, and she's just, she's very humble. She's obviously achieved an enormous amount. I was really, really inspired by her Dimbleby lecture, and it's always nice to have dinner with someone that you really, really like,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
And the other woman that I would invite is my daughter. So not quite a woman. She's 7 years old. She's her and my son, they're the light of my life. And it's much more important that she spends time with these women, learning from their lessons, than I do. Because for me, she's a future leader of the world, like all of our daughters are. And so I'd have them.
Brilliant. Finally, what are you currently reading?
What am I currently reading? I'm actually rereading.
Mm-hmm.
I refer to it sometimes, The Hard Thing About Hard Things by Ben Horowitz. So it's an entrepreneur's handbook, if you like.
Yeah.
I don't tend to read fiction, which is terrible. I think it stems from when I was a child, I was told that I wasn't very bright when it came to English literature, so I lost all confidence. And this is a problem, this is a problem, right? Is that we wield so much power over our children, and it's little comments like that can actually destroy a child's confidence in a certain area. And I was always told that by that one teacher, and I remember the teacher, which is why I say, as teachers, we have so much influence. You can't get rid of the human interaction between a child and a teacher, but let's make sure, you know, we have these amazing teachers who actually have time for each child and can sort of, you know, they can actually, I don't know, unleash power in every child, right? Rather than sort of stuff them down.
Yeah. And which woman do you think I should interview next?
Martha Lane Fox.
Yeah, okay.
I love
very
her.
Melodic.
You're listening to Teacher Toolkit. You can find out more about 100 Years, 100 Women on our website, teachertoolkit.co.uk, and you can follow us on social media using the hashtag TTKit100Women.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To continue the conversation, head over to www.teachertoolkit.co.uk and our social media channels to access all the links and resources mentioned on today's show. Why not share this with your colleagues and give them the gift of time, reduced workload, and increased impact? Until the next time, before you look after your students, look after yourself.
Listening to Teacher Toolkit. Supporting teachers, parents, and students worldwide.